Hey, first off, I'll be very brief. I just want to thank everyone for joining in on this call today. It's really important to me that, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with everybody and, you know, having a good working relationship and being honest and upfront with each other. And I couldn't thank the Wilf family, Rick Spielman and Coach Zimmer enough for allowing me to be the new offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. It's an unbelievable opportunity for me and my wife, Carrie. And we are so looking forward to getting up there and being a part of the Twin City community, the Minnesota, you know, state community. And we couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of what we know we want to experience, what we just experienced in Philadelphia yesterday, which was bringing a world championship home to the state of Minnesota. So I just wanted to start out by saying how excited myself and my family are to be such a part of a special organization.
Hey, Chris Thomas in St. Paul Pioneer Press. Congrats on the job. Can you just fill us in on kind of how it all came together yesterday, you know, when you met with the Vikings? And it seemed like it obviously came together pretty quickly.
It did. And I'll tell you, I had an opportunity this offseason to go to a bunch of different places. Obviously, I interviewed for two head coaching jobs that went in another direction. There were a few other opportunities to be an offensive coordinator in the league. I'm not going to name names, but when the Minnesota Vikings want to talk to you, that's a whole different ballgame. I mean, we just got done playing them, you know, 3 weeks ago in the NFC Championship. As an offensive coach, I've never been more on edge game planning for a defense than them the last 2 years. Obviously, we came out on top in those two games, but game planning against that defense and that team is not an easy thing to do. And so it was obviously a special opportunity to work, you know, for Coach Zimmer and learn from him and, you know, work for another great head coach and another opportunity for myself to call plays. So all those things that I just said were made the job very, very appealing.
Hey, John, it's Ben Gessling from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I guess as you were going through this, as you start to go through this, how much of the Eagles offense do you expect to bring with you, and how much do you think it'll be from other places you've been?
You know, I've been very fortunate. That's a great question. I've been very fortunate to be around a lot of really good coaches at a fairly, I call myself a young, but I'll be 40 in April, at a very young age in the coaching world. Been, you know, exposed to a lot of different offenses. You know, the first thing we're going to do is sit down and see what the Minnesota Vikings did well last year. Because if they did something really, really well and their players are good at it, there's no reason to change it. So we're going to take pieces from other places I've been, take pieces from Philadelphia. And at the same time, I mean, you know, obviously there are a lot of good things that the Minnesota Vikings did last year that we are going to continue to do. So we're going to mesh, you know, a bunch of different ideas and things that the players will be comfortable with, number one, and the coaching staff will be comfortable with, number two.
Hey, John. Johnny out with Vice State. Just wondering, you know, you've got some quarterback decisions to make. What sort of a quarterback do you like to work with your offense?
Oh, that's great. Another good question. I'll tell you what. I said this in my interview. And I say this all the time. I said this in my media sessions in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl. Character is number one for me. And if you have character in this at that position, you have a chance to succeed. If you don't have it, you have zero chance to succeed. So number one, we're going to look for a person that's going to represent our football team the way and conduct himself the way we want him, both on and off the football field. That's very, very important. Number two, the three most important attributes of playing the quarterback position are decision-making, timing, and accuracy. So we're going to heavily research into those three factors, you know, with whoever's the quarterback next year in Minnesota and really dig into those three areas. You know, and finally is a guy that is shows some form of leadership. You don't need to be a rah-rah guy all the time, but you need to show some form of leadership so other guys will follow you, look up to you, and when times get tough, will play for you. And so all those things I just mentioned are very important components in the quarterback position.
And then just as a follow-up, how much athleticism play into it for you?
I think that's part of it. There's no doubt. And athleticism is a unique trait for a quarterback. There's different types of athleticism for a quarterback. There's guys like the Michael Vick types and those things. And then there's guys that have great athleticism, you know, moving their feet in the pocket to keep plays alive, to extend plays. So, you know, I'm not a big believer in quarterbacks that are a stick in the mud back there. You know, they're in cement back there at 7.5 yards deep. Our quarterbacks are going to need to show some form of athleticism, yes.
John, Chad Graff with The Athletic. Did you get any sense in your meetings with Coach Zimmer or Rick about how much say you'll have in helping select the next quarterbacks this offseason?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to have some say, and I'm going to have as much say as they want me to. I'm a team player. Whatever they ask me to do in terms of researching the players that we're going to research, I'm going to leave no stone unturned. And, you know, like I said, we're going to, like we talked about last night, it's going to be a collaborative effort, something that we all agree on, because when it's divided, you know, I've been through this situation before searching for Derek Carr and Carson Wentz. So I've had some experience in this situation and trying to find, you know, your quarterback to lead your football team. So as much or as little of my input as they want, I'll give them. But I know whatever information I give them will be very educated and very researched.
Hey, John, it's Dave Campbell with the Associated Press. Hey, so could you just walk us through your day yesterday a little bit more? Super Bowl parade in the morning, interview with the Vikings at night. Just had to be one of the more whirlwind days you've had, including the Super Bowl.
It was an unbelievable day. It was an unbelievable day. I mean, how many guys can say they participated in a Super Bowl parade in the morning and became one of 32 play callers in the National Football League that night? I mean, that's a pretty good deal, you know. So, I mean, it was a whirlwind. Yes, it was a whirlwind that was 100% worth it. But I'll tell you, that was professionally and personally for my wife and I would say besides the day we got married, that was probably one of our better days as a married couple.
Hey, John. Matthew Collar here with 1500 ESPN. Can you just talk about some of your offensive philosophy as it pertains to the red zone? This year, the Vikings were very good in the red zone. It was the biggest difference, I think, between years past where they weren't as good in scoring and this year. And Latavius Murray mentioned that was one of your big areas when you two worked together a bit in Oakland. So can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. We're going to have a touchdown check down mentality in the red zone. You know, we're going to throw the ball in the end zone if it's there, and if it's not there, we're going to check the ball down. The two best traits of red zone teams in the National Football League is your number one, your ability to run the football in the red zone, because there's the safeties going to be on you. There's 22 guys in a tight space. So we're going to, our backs are going to have to do a great job of running through the unblocked player. And that's the nature of NFL red zone football, is your backs taking on that extra player and making a miss, running them over, whatever you have to do to get in the end zone. And at the same time, we're going to have plays where our quarterbacks feel comfortable with and the certain coverages we're seeing from team to team to be able to cut the ball loose in tight windows down there.
Hey, Jonathan, Gessling from the Minneapolis Star Tribune again. If you can think through the quarterbacks that you've coached in your career, who would you say best epitomizes the type of quarterback you want of the guys that you've coached?
I wish I could build a robot quarterback of the guys I've, because they all have significant traits. So I'll be honest with you, I'm going to leave. I'm not big on player comparisons. I just never have been, because each player situation is very, very different. And I would be doing a disservice to the really, really amount of good players that I've coached if I get into player comparisons. So I tend to stay away from those.
Hey, John, Chris Thomason here again. Just on people with the Vikings, maybe you can talk about how well you knew Zimmer and Spielman before this process started, and then also your previous relationship with Tony Sparano.
Yeah, obviously, I know Tony the best because he and I worked together 2 years in Oakland, and he was our head coach for, let me see, it was 12 of our remaining games my third season there. So obviously, I'm very close with Coach Sperano, his wife Jeanette, and their family. So Carrie and I have had a wonderful relationship with their family. The Spielman family and the DeFilippo family go back to a long, long way. And my father used to recruit, Rick's dad's high school, back in Ohio. So, our families go back a long way. It was the first time I had a chance to sit down and talk with Rick last night, face to face. But, there's no doubt he comes from a football family. I mean, it's just easy football talk. And then Coach Zimmer is just a guy I've always admired from afar. I'm going up against him, him kicking my butt a lot on teams that I've been on, making you stay up late, trying to, figure out a way to block some of the double-A package and some of that odd stuff that he shows. So my initial reaction with Coach Zimmer was I was a lot more tired on Friday nights than some other weeks. So it was just more of a mutual respect thing there with Coach Zimmer. But, I mean, we hit it off right away because the three of us all have one thing in mind. We all love football, and that's a good thing. When your general manager, your head coach, and your offensive coordinator are sitting there and talking football, and all three love the game and love to talk football, there's just a lot of good things that can happen out of that.
John, Dave Campbell with the AP again. Hey, was there one particular thing or maybe insight that you feel like you shared with Nick Foles before the playoffs that you saw pay off? Maybe with his performance?
Sure. Two things. Number one, I sat him down and made him list me, with our coaching staff, what are your best concepts? What do you see yourself do well? Because I'm not myself, Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, we're not the ones out there throwing it. He is. And so we really sat down and spent some time with Nick and really formulated game plans on what he felt comfortable doing. And that, to me, that's coaching. And why would you ask a player to do something that he's not comfortable with? So that's good coaching to me. And, Nick was open and honest and about things that he wasn't comfortable with, things that he was comfortable with. And we were very fortunate as a team. It wasn't all just Nick. Nick played a very big part in it. But as a team, obviously we went on to win the Super Bowl.
John, Sam Ekstrom with Zone Coverage. You've obviously been around the block in the college ranks and in the pro ranks as well. How do you think it's benefited you to encounter so many different people and be in so many different situations in your career?
I think that's a major reason why I'm sitting here talking to you today. And it started way before my coaching career. I mean, I think I've lost count. You can go back and do some research. I think this is I'm turning 40 in April. I think this is my 19th move. It's either 18 or 19. I've lost count. And I think when you grow up in this and you're forced to put yourself in different situations, meeting people, making friends, it forces you to kind of put yourself out there a little bit. And the same way as a coach, I think the more you're exposed to yourself, the more you're exposed to different things, I think the more you learn. And, I've had situations like this one where I've moved on after, obviously being promoted. And I've had situations where I've been on where I've had to move on and staffs that have been let go. And unfortunately and fortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast in today's NFL. So I look at it as a positive. I look at it, I'm a glass half full guy. I think the more everyone's around me, you'll realize that. I'm very positive. I hold our players accountable, but at the same time, I'm very positive. And I look at it as a good thing and not a bad thing.
Hey, John. Ben Gessling, Minneapolis Star Tribune again. When you've already been getting, I guess, interest in head coaching jobs, and that looks like something that could be in your future, I guess, how do you look at this in terms of how long of a fit it is when, if you have a good year, head coaching opportunities could come for you again next year?
Yeah. I'll tell you, you guys know football, man. I'll tell you that. You're some great questions. I've been very fortunate. My mom and dad blessed me with a one-day-at-a-time mindset. And I try to do my job to the best of my ability every single day. And, you know, there were certain things that came up during the Super Bowl week, and my agent tried to call me, and he didn't even talk. I said, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it, because the more I talk about it, that's how much time I'm taking away from the quarterbacks of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's not fair to them. It's not fair to the team. And so I've been very blessed with a one-day-at-a-time mindset. There's been times in my career I've had to pick myself up, dust myself off. There's been times where I've ridden down on Broad Street on the Super Bowl parade and anywhere in between. So I'm very fortunate that I keep things one day at a time.
Hey, John, Matthew Collar with 1500 ESPN again. What was the biggest difference from Carson Wentz year one to Carson Wentz year two?
His 16 games he played as a rookie. There's no doubt. I mean, when you draft a guy that high, at number two, number one, whatever, I mean, in my opinion, get his butt in there. Because there's nothing you can do at the quarterback position besides playing. Okay? And situational football is a big piece of winning football games in the NFL. And there were times where, you know, Carson wasn't so great in situational football as a rookie, but he is one of those type of guys that writes things down. He logs things in the back of his memory, and that he's a very he's not what I call a repeat offender. He's not going to make the same mistake twice. And he logged those experiences, and, you know, he and I had a very long sit-down at the end of last year on, you know, five or six things that we really needed to focus on in the off season, and he really bought into those five or six things. And I know that was a small piece in his success this season, but the major piece was just getting him in there and letting him make mistakes and letting him make great plays and anything in between. So I think you can't discount the, you know, us just throwing him in there and letting him play.
Hey, John, Timmy Otto with Viking Update again. Just wondering, when you looked at the Vikings offense, what did you find appealing, and what are certain areas that you think you really need to concentrate on as you take over?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, certain things that I found appealing were, obviously it was a team that was 13-3 last year. And, you know, we're filled with a lot of good players. Obviously, you know, I don't want to comment anything with the Philadelphia Eagles in terms of the draft. Personally, I love Dalvin Cook coming out of the draft. I love him. And I knew he was a very special player. Obviously, going against and seeing those, playing against this team the last 2 years, obviously the skill players on the outside are special guys that can really play. You know, Rudolph's a really good player. You know, the offensive line has been greatly improved, you know, from the first time we played them to this go-around. So all those things were very, very enticing about the job, and on top of just the team itself.
Hey, John, Chris Thomason again. What are you allowed to do to reach out potentially to any offense players just to introduce yourself or what have you?
You know, I'm going to wait till I get up to Minnesota to do any of that, because I want clarification on that myself. You know, as football coaches, we're concerned about one thing, and that's football. But I want to get with the guys that know all those, you know, specific rules and this and that before I do anything. Because the last thing I want to do is do something that, you know, is going to hurt the team before I even get up there.
Are we good?
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate everybody.
Thanks, John.
Like I said, I look forward to working with everybody once I get up there.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.